Hi, this is Bobby Fav.
And this is Babelito.
And we are
Latinos Who Lunch,
the podcast where we talk about important things like...
¿Qué haces besando a la lisiada?
Hello, hello, hello.
Que show, que show, que show.
What is up, Babelito?
Nada.
No, there's more than nada.
I'm eating the most delicious... Probably the most delicious tacos in Las Vegas.
Shut your mouth.
Except they're not tacos. They're enchiladas and burritos.
Damn, off to a great start.
It's going to be amazing, an amazing episode.
We're having fusion food, guys. Korean, Mexican fusion. It's the bomb. Bulgogi, beef, enchiladas.
Oof. But like real, like good enchiladas, not like gringo enchiladas. So good.
It's the bomb.
With like white cheese, not yellow cheese.
White cheese. Yes. And then a bulgogi pork burrito.
Which is like al pastor, but it's just...
Bulgogi is like marinated in pork cider, so it's got this sweetness to it. Or pear cider. Híjole, ya la regué. But anyways, we have no idea what we're talking about today, guys. And in the spirit of the last episode, we're just going to bullshit today. So I haven't seen Babelito. I haven't seen you in like...
A month and like 2 days.
Oh my gosh.
I am counting the hours, bitch.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, well, can't say the same, but it's so great to see you.
Oh, my God. I feel
What's
like
new?
Million things have happened. Like, we live under a new regime, and shit is insane. But we don't need to, like, concentrate on those things. I got to Albuquerque in the beginning of January, and I haven't stopped working. It's actually been really good. A lot of the ideas that I've been thinking and marinated in my brain for the past, I don't know, 5 years, they're coming to fruition.
Bulgogi brain.
It feels good. ¿Y tú qué pedo?
Well, I just got back from Denver.
Uh-huh.
I was at the Denver Art Museum finishing my installation for this show that opens on February 19th,
mm-hmm.
called Mi Tierra, mm-hmm. My Dirt. And I am exhausted.
You look exhausted.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Well, truly, honestly, truly, it's because I got home yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and at the airport in Denver, I got there really early, and I started watching The People versus O.J. Simpson.
Oh, my God.
And I had only seen the first episode when it was on TV, and now it's on Netflix.
When did they have...
By the way, Netflix. You need to sponsor us, because we're always talking about them. But anyway, I got hooked. So I got home, and I watched like 6-7 episodes yesterday. That show is so good.
I was hooked.
Right?
It's so...
Did you finish it?
Good.
You
watched
it?
Oh, yeah, but I watched it like in 2 weeks.
I think there's 10 episodes.
It was so long ago, girl, that I don't remember, but it was so, so... I was just like, I couldn't believe. And I wonder how much of that actually happened.
It's all true. It all happened.
And how much they made out, but the jury selection episodes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I was at the edge of my seat.
Yeah.
It was so, so, so interesting to see that whole entire process. And it's just everything was boiling up. It feels very now at the same time.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Yeah. It's a really good, really good show.
Yeah. And then John Travolta's in it. So he's giving you like the biggest Scientology vibes.
Yes.
Like, it's so good. It's so good.
It's actually one of the best performances.
Ross is in it from Friends. He plays Rob Kardashian. Nathan Lane is in it. It's so... The cast.
How the fuck do the Kardashians always end up in everything?
Cuba Gooding Jr. Huh?
Like, the Kardashians always end up in everything.
Well,
like,
the dad really was a lawyer, though.
I know. Wait, but...
And do you know the rumor that Khloe Kardashian is really OJ's daughter?
Es la hija de aquel. You think it's true?
Mira la cara, güey. I'm just What?
Speaking
what?
Of, have you seen Las Kardashians in Culiacán?
No.
Oh my God.
Okay, we gotta do a full episode. We gotta do a full episode on that.
It's so good.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Wait, where was I? Okay, so I was in Denver. I did my installation. Now I'm back, and we have a jam-packed week, because I don't know if you guys know, but Babelito and I don't live in the same city anymore. You're in Albuquerque. I'm in...
Curque.
And I'm in Las Vegas, and we only see each other once every month, basically, right? For like a few days.
Yeah.
So we record a lot of these ahead of time. So we have a jam-packed week. We can't say too much, ooh, but you're going to see us on the internet somewhere soon. It's going to be awesome. But and Babelito and I will be in Denver for My Dirt, for Mi Tierra, coming up in February. So hopefully we get to interview more of the artists. We've mentioned Xochitl Solís already, Ramiro Gomez, and shout out to, I met Daisy Quesada last time I was out there. She is amazing. Her art, cool. Her installation is incredible. Like,
I gotta see it.
Oh my God. Okay, so she's a sculptor. She mm-hmm. works a lot with ceramics. So she made, I don't want to give it away, but I just want to say that I got emotional in her space, like when she was explaining the work to me. There's an actual piece of the border in her installation.
Like she took it from...
Yes!
Oh my God.
When I found that out, I was like, oh my God, amazing. So the show is 13 Contemporary Latino Artists, and it's all installation-based, super cool. And while I'm talking about it, I just want to give a huge shout-out to my dear, dear friends in Denver, especially to Flo and Mercedes.
Oh, I love
them. They came through. Like, I'm telling you, Babelito, like, I almost got emotional because they were there every day helping me make Fridalandia for the exhibition. Cutting paper, gluing, whatever I needed, they were there. They're
so amazing.
They're my Denver family.
They're so
now.
Badass.
I'm telling you. My Denver posse, they're calling me my groupies. I'm like, no. We need to elevate you. But they are amazing, and I can't wait. I really want to do a full episode with them. They were on one of our first Mordida episodes. Yeah, they are so cool. Also, shout out to Karina and Paula. They helped me one day.
And they gave us wonderful gifts from over there. Yeah.
I know. So many awesome people have helped me.
La Madalena.
Madalena helped me a lot. Leticia, shout out. Shout out to my dirt crew, Catalina, Jesse, and Jane. Oh, they're so fucking awesome. And I'm sure I'm missing a lot of people, but I'm really excited about the show. And,
I can't wait. I mean, I saw like pretty much half of it done, but I can't even imagine right now how it looks.
Yeah, I can't wait for me to process this whole experience at the Denver Art Museum and
let it out.
Really get into it in a future episode, because girl,
I know
there is a lot to talk about.
I have been waiting impatiently.
I just have to be quiet right now.
Yes. Let it marinate inside, and then you can.
I need perspective.
Okay.
Perspective.
Whatever that means.
Okay, so I heard
mm-hmm.
that you interviewed somebody.
Oh.
What did you do?
Okay, so this was what I feel like almost famous. Have you seen that movie?
Yeah.
Oh, that's how it felt. You don't like the movie?
I don't know. Isn't that like Kevin Spacey and...
No way.
What?
It's the I don't know
the
name.
It's the belly button one. That covers a belly, like a white girl's belly button.
Isn't yes, I think so. It's with Penny Lane.
I used to work at Best Buy, so uh-huh. I don't know movies.
But you remember
but
the
I
covers.
Know what the covers look like because I used to alphabetize them.
Well, the movie's about this kid who interviews bands for Rolling Stones, and he's like 16.
Uh-huh.
Except that I'm like 34.
Oh, no, it's not Almost Famous.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways, is that the paper bag movie?
bitch.
Sorry. I'm gonna stop talking.
So I got to interview my first band. I always wanted to do something with music. That's like my failed dream, to be a rock star or a roadie or something. And now it happened. Cool. I actually got to interview my first band. Shout out to Fea.
Oh.
Which I didn't know, but it stands for Fuck 'Em All.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, Fea.
It's a side project from the girls of Girl in a Coma.
Girl in a Coma. Oh, they covered Selena. That shit was that Adventures in Coverland, right?
Bitch. And they covered Gloria Trevi in the show.
I can't wait. We gotta do
Mesurre.
We're gonna do a full episode on them because they're badass.
I got to do this a couple of days ago and it was just so awesome. Like, I can't wait to interview more bands, but girl, I've done so much in a month. Not only I've been in Albuquerque, but I got to go to Ciudad Juarez two times. Mm-hmm. And I had so much fun. Like,
what did you do?
Well, the first time I just went to go visit family. Mm-hmm. And my cousin and my friends took me on a tour of like bars from the 60s and the 50s and the 70s. We went to this bar and it's called El Olimpico. Mm-hmm. And that's a bar that like Juan Gabriel used to hang out at. So when you go and talk to the bartender will tell you stories about Rocío Dúrcal and Juan Gabriel. And it was his birthday. And he was all dressed in black, like nothing flashy, except this like gigantic fake collar that he was wearing full of crystals. And he had his tiara. Oh, my God. And he just tells you about the celebrities that have
visited. He was wearing a tiara?
Yes, because it was his birthday. And people were doing a tie out of money. So he had, like, this bills of, like, 200 and 500. No, I don't know, 500. 200 and 100 pesos. Y mi 50 mil pesos, ¿qué? Yeah. Uh-huh. So that was pretty cool. And the best part about Juarez is that nobody gives a shit about those bars. So they have, like, a cult following. So you have just like this, your same group of like 20, 30 people in the same bar since the 60s and the 70s. Like some of the bars you can see like a little like a little river where instead of you having to go to the bathroom, like men will just go and
like at the foot of the bar. Uh-huh. I remember that from Mexico. Yes. And sometimes they put ice in it.
Yes.
So that it doesn't smell as bad.
Exactly.
Man, how convenient.
Yeah, so
I wish they did that here. It's really disgusting, but it's kind of cool.
And what's also interesting about
so gross.
And what's also interesting about this bars in Juarez is that there was a Plaza de Toros. I mean, I don't condone that, the fights, the bullfights or anything, but there was a Plaza de Toros in Juarez, and it was one of the most important ones in all of Mexico. So a lot of the people that end up in Plaza Mexico, which was the biggest Plaza de Toros in all of I think in all the world, even bigger than Spain, stopped in Juarez first. So like in the 60s, the 70s, even before, they were like Juarez was known for his bullfights. In fact, the wife of William de Kooning, he taught at the University of New Mexico, and he has this whole series of abstract paintings, and they're called Juarez, and they're all about the bullfights. They're beautiful paintings. So there's this like Taurino history in downtown Juarez. So you go to restaurants and you see posters from like the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, and all of that's still there. And you go to some of these bars and nothing's changed. Like nobody has touched those places for 30, 40 years. And it's just,
that's rad.
It was so cool. I can't wait for you to go. Like, you're gonna love it.
I had a very similar experience. I went to a restaurant with Flo and Mercedes and Manuel called El Noa Noa.
Ah, sí, cierto.
So it was like I was in Juarez. But it was in Denver. So same. No, they don't still do bullfighting, do they?
No. Guess what they built instead of a bullfight? Just guess. Like the most obvious.
Soccer? Football?
No. Cockfights? No way. They got rid of the stadium and they put, guess what? A fucking Walmart.
Vamos a la Walmart! That's awesome. No, I'm just fucking with you.
Yeah, it's so messed up. So the only thing that reminds, like, the only There's a monument, like a bronze sculpture of toros. But other than that, and it's weird because I don't condone the fights at all. I think they're disgusting. But it's like this cultural thing that the government completely
got rid
of. They
don't even do it
of.
In Spain anymore, right?
Oh, I have no idea. I don't think they do. Have you been to one?
I'm not at liberty. No, I have been to a cockfight before when I was little.
Pero, o sea, de
but it was
de gallinos.
It was super secret.
Okay.
Because my uncle, I shouldn't be telling the story.
Just say it.
But it was super shady. It was when we were in Durango, and there's a town called Tepehuanes. Shout out to Tepehuanes.
Tepehuanes.
My family's from Carreras Durango, which is like the town next to Tepehuanes. Mm-hmm. And there was this huge, it's like a 4-story building, but for there it's huge. Mm-hmm. There's this big building,
yeah.
And it was like a furniture warehouse. And then but they made like a stadium, like around the mattresses.
Uh-huh. Como palenquito. Yeah.
Yes. And that's where I saw a cockfight, and I was like,
was it real? Like, did they have the knives in their?
Yes. Yeah.
Cara de perro.
Yeah, that was kind of traumatizing, but
that didn't make you vegetarian.
No, I was like, let's get some chicken nuggets
and cry in the corner.
Yeah. it wasn't dark enough. So, but in that part of Mexico, yeah. They do these things called coleaderas. You know what coleaderas are?
No.
You've never been to a coleadera?
No.
What do you think it is? You're laughing so hard.
I'm wishing of what? Keep going.
Cálmate. Sucio. So a coleadera is, okay, so it's like they have the lienzo charro, I can't even say it, lienzo charro, right?
Yeah.
So they let a bull out, or a cow, I don't know, whatever, out into the cow. We're not going to be gender specific here. Gender neutral, everybody.
Cox.
There was a cox and
vacax.
That's not nice. Okay. There's okay. So there's a guy and a horse, right? Uh-huh. And then there's a cow, and the cow is let out of a gate.
Y sale a madre y lo amarra.
No lo amarra. The guy on the horse gallops up to the cow, grabs the tail, puts his foot on the back of the cow, and then pulls on it and flips the cow around. So like whoever flips the cow in the shortest distance wins the coleadera. That's what's called a coleadera, because they grab the cola, the tail, and pull the cow to trip it. But you have to have one foot on the cow, like you're sitting on the horse. Uh-huh. So you're like standing on a horse with one foot on the cow, and then you pull the tail and like do a move to trip the cow and flip it around. Yeah.
So cow tipping, it's a real
but
thing.
But in motion, cow tipping in motion.
Dios.
That's
mio.
A coleadera. I could have saved so much time just saying that. Damn.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen it in TV, but I've never seen it.
I've seen it in live.
Yeah,
in color.
Like in El Norte, there's like all this. Like charrette.
I don't know. I feel like that's a lot nicer than bullfighting. Like, I mean, the cow just gets flipped around. It's not like, you know, some of them probably like
it. So they
it.
Don't kill. They don't kill it.
No, they don't kill it.
Okay, good.
No, they just grab the tail and trip it. It's not like they're stabbing it and killing it. Yeah, that's so tragic. Gross.
That's my favorite part of bullfights, when like the bull like goes into the actual man.
Because you're nasty.
Y se la...
I know, you nasty ass.
El cuerno. So, what else do you do besides being in Denver?
That's it, girl. I don't know. I don't remember. Like, I was there for 2 straight weeks finishing the installation. So, I visited a few friends, you know. I don't know. I feel like I'm just always busy now. What is this life?
Yeah, like you're the worst friend, by the way. I'm going to complain in public.
Excuse me.
Yes.
What?
Because I get a text from you every other day or maybe every third day. I know your response when you go, when you say, "Oh, cool." That means you don't give a fuck.
Don't tell people my secrets.
And then I call you and you're like, "I'm laying down. Buenas noches." And that's it. To you 2 times in a month, and we texted, I'm going to count them. It's
what
bad.
Do you want from me?
I don't know, dude.
We have a podcast together. Like, that's enough, right?
I guess.
You have a husband. What do you fucking need me to text you every day for?
Because I need friends besides my husband.
You have other friends.
Yeah, but you know.
Okay, I'll set a reminder.
Okay, if you have to set a reminder, just forget about it.
To text you once a day, like, oh, what's going on? Oh my God.
Que cula it is anyway. But that was the first time I went to Juarez, right? So let me tell you about the second time.
I was really busy, okay? Like, for real. After this installation, I'm not going to be as busy, I promise.
Does that mean that you're going to respond?
You know what I don't like is because you call me when you're smoking outside.
¿Y qué
and
chingados?
It triggers me. I want to go smoke too.
Sí, muy débil,
I don't
muy
like
débil.
That. I can hear you smoke. I can hear. I almost feel it. I can smell the fucking smoke.
Well, that's my time.
Phone.
That's my.
Okay.
I know
you know
done
what?
With
I just want to tell you right now. I just want to tell you right now. Please stop. I'm trying to change my life, okay? And okay. It's really hard. And as a friend, you should respect it. Please don't call me payasa also. And please don't call me buddy. I'm not a fucking dog. Ugh. And that's a new one. That's a new one. And
¿qué más? A ver,
just,
sácalas
I'm just going
to
say it.
Sácalas.
I'm not going to answer phone calls or text messages anymore after 9 p.m. I need to fucking sleep. So, like,
pero you
I'm
don't,
sorry.
You don't go to bed at 9.
Okay, well, new year, new me. Because I am going to go to bed.
Mentirosa, no te creo nada.
Anyway. Oh, it was so nice to talk to you.
Does it feel good?
Yeah.
You feel better?
I don't know what I'm feeling right now. We're in a sick, sad world, man.
Yeah.
We're in a sick world.
You know,
I told you last year. I've drank too much coffee today too. I told you last year this year was gonna suck. People were saying 2016 was gonna be bad. This year is awful already.
You know, like I find myself writing and writing, and my break used to be to get on Facebook. Like, I can write for like 20, 30 minutes, get on Facebook for 2 minutes, and then come back writing, get on Facebook. I can't. Like, I find myself at the end of the day with headaches because I cannot even look at his face. I cannot even hear his fucking voice. It's just, it gets to the point that I have to find the humor in it because that's the only thing I can do. Because it's just, I feel hopeless. Like, yes, donate money and call this and call the center and whatever. But at the end of the day, it's just, like it's too fucking much. That's why I try to call my friends at the end of the day and they don't fucking answer their phone.
Okay.
La terapia es necesaria.
Mira,
You're my locólogo, güey, y te escondes.
Yeah, but I was drained, dude. Like, I don't, and then what? You just call me and then I just don't say anything back?
Didn't I call you one day and I said, I just want to talk for a second, just bullshit.
¿Y qué dije?
And that's it. We bullshit for like 2 minutes and then that's it.
Aleluya, man. That's it.
That's it. Okay. Pero ni eso me regalas.
I know. It's because, listen, like, I was so stressed out in Denver that I needed to like slowly shut down.
See, when
so it's like I was getting, look, I'm just going to be honest. I was getting to that point, 10 p.m., 11 p.m. I had to be up at 7 in the morning.
Damn.
And then you would fucking call me and ruin it. And I'd be like, I was like meditating, doing my fucking Hare Krishna bullshit. And you're.
Pues apaga el teléfono.
I can't. What if there's an emergency?
See, okay, that's the difference. If
I didn't communicate that to you, and I apologize.
Okay, so now I know that after 9 p.m. I won't bother you. But that's the difference between you and I. If I get stressed, sometimes I just need to call a friend and just talk about something completely different, and then I'm over it. Because at the end of the day, it's a bullshit problem, right? Unless something horrible happens, but it hasn't happened to me yet. Thank God. So. And when you get stressed, you shut down and you just want to be alone.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we know.
You didn't know this about me?
We've known. You know that I met you 3 years ago, like this month?
3 years now?
Hace tres años.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Damn.
So it's new. It's fresh.
This fresh. Relationship is expired. No, I'm just kidding.
Next.
Oh my god!
Was it really that stressful? Like, were you that stressed? Was it?
Yeah, one night I literally had to like do breathing exercises. Like, I never thought I would get down to that.
Wow!
But I had to like count, like,
what was it? The amount of work, or
yeah, just like thinking of what I had to do the next day, yeah, and like trying to decode. I'm not gonna go there. I was just very stressed out.
Decode the code switching. Yes.
Yeah. So I, also shout out to, speaking of code switching, shout out to the Conversation Art Podcast. I was on there. If you haven't listened to it.
Oh, I did.
You can hear me talk to a white person on that show. And also on, Leah Walsh's, The Compass Podcast.
Also listen to it.
I think, it's so cool that there's all these artist-run podcasts. The Compass is more like for theater people, and then the Art Conversation Art Podcast is like art world, visual art world people.
You know what I love about? I mean, you guys need to listen to the interview. But what I loved about that the interview was the part where you mentioned that one of the things that you liked about having a podcast is how there's a community of other Latino podcasts that are always supporting each other, right?
That's right.
And he couldn't relate to that.
No.
He was like, no, almost like they compete with each other, or like they have their own opinions about art and they cannot give each other shout outs or like be in each other's podcasts. It's so different with us. Like, I'm always trying to collaborate. Like, we're always trying to collaborate with other podcasts. So when you guys were talking about that in that episode, I was driving and I was like,
I almost couldn't comprehend, like, how can people not support each other? Like, if you have a podcast that's the same topic, give them a shout out.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's really cool of the Latino podcast, or the,
because we have
Latinx, Latinao podcast, because there's not a lot of us.
And I think that as Latinos, we have this sense of community that los güeros sometimes they don't. Because we like, that's how we are raised with our families in our business all the time, and we're always helping and supporting each other. Like,
sometimes,
I mean, sometimes, of course, there's
a little bit of jealousy and hate.
But I feel like at the end of the day,
that's in every culture. I feel
But at the end of the day, you can have 1,000 friends, and then you move from that city, and then you make new friends or whatever. But there's always those couple of friends that stay with you and your family. Like, and that's that sense of community that you always try to replicate in other spaces. And in this case, we try to replicate that sense of community within the podcast. And I feel like through the hashtags and all of that, we've been able to do that. So when I heard this guy talking about that, about how it's almost like competition, I was like, this is weird.
Well, I feel like there's probably a lot of I don't know, there's not that many art podcasts either. I don't know why they wouldn't bring themselves up, but there is a lot of competition out there when it comes to like a single white male and his podcast.
Oh yeah, there's, you know, a lot what I mean? Of those. So, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but
I have a question.
Okay.
La cara que me hiciste. How does it feel to every time you have an interview like that, especially when you got like a white interview in you, a white person interviewing you, it's always about your identity, and they don't seem to be able to get out of that. Instead of talking about your art or materials or like things about, I don't know, like art.
It's not everybody, and it's not everybody.
But I've seen it so many times when people interview you, and it's kind of like, oh, like, let it fucking go, man.
Because as a person of color in the art world, that's all you are. You're either a tragic story, or no. A lot of the time, we're reduced to that. It either has to be, the work is like autobiographical and about some sort of trauma, or you're a representation of your identity. Right. Mm-hmm. For you to be allowed into these spaces.
Correct.
And I just play. I mean, I have to do what I have to do, you know, like, just to be frank. Right. So. But not everybody is like that. If you notice in that interview, he did ask me about being from Las Vegas.
Yes. Yes.
For a lot of it. He was truly interested in that. So I found that nice, you know?
Yeah.
And I also get tired about talking about that, but
I know. When I did my internship, people were more curious about me being an art historian studying in Las Vegas than being Mexican.
Yeah.
Like they were more excited. They wanted to know more about that aspect of my identity than actually being from Mexico, like this Mexican in Italy, yeah. You know? And I still see that when I present myself as a colonial Mexican art historian that started studying this stuff in Vegas. It's like this weird thing, like this exotic thing. I don't know.
I have my friend, this is something that I just thought about right now, is I'm going to be in the show across the pond, as they say. Well, I don't know what accent that was.
That was a really bad
I know. How would you? Across.
And do not
across. Across. Across the pond.
Andale pues ya,
across the pond. That was Liverpool. So.
I don't even try to do accents. I always sound like Borat.
Across the pond. I'm going to be in a show in the UK. Mm-hmm. And my friend John Walter curated the show. Mm-hmm. And the show's called Shonky, The Aesthetics of Awkwardness. So I'm in the show not for my identity, for the first time ever, maybe.
Not because you're from Vegas.
Not because I'm from Las Vegas, because of the aesthetics of my work and the way that I make my art, which is really refreshing.
That's so cool.
Props to John, the curator, because...
Shout out, John.
And he said, yeah, propose whatever you want.
Sweet.
And so I'm excited to... I think I'm going to make giant nachos. I can't wait! Because I have to, the sculpture has to be able to travel mm-hmm. to different institutions. So I'm gonna make it nachos that whoever can just like build like on the spot, like in a building, you know?
Okay.
I'm so excited. I'm just so excited to make the sour cream. It's gonna be so cool.
Qué sucia.
I know. But yeah. I know. It's a thing. It's a thing with our friend Lance, who was on a couple episodes of Latinos Who Lunch, he had a really great opening here in Las Vegas, and he talked about that at his artist talk. Is like, I really wanted this work to be personal, but there had to be a balance. Like, I didn't mm-hmm. want it just to be about
identity
and tragedy. I wanted it to be
correct.
I wanted you to see the skill also that it took to make this work. Or just think of it as a conceptual show, you know?
Correct.
Not just, you know, just to see past the color of his skin.
Correct.
Basically.
But it's also, I think it's, you said the right word, it's balance. Because there's things that we cannot escape. And there's things that we shouldn't escape, given the state of affairs in the world, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, give it a rest. Like, we're artists, we're art historians. It's not just about, like, just where we come from, which is sometimes what people are obsessed with. But anyway, I just wanted to ask you that because I was driving from El Paso to Albuquerque, and I was yelling. I was yelling at the radio. I'm like, pregúntale otra cosa, cabrón. So,
yeah.
But no, it was a good interview.
Yeah.
So that was the second time, though. That was the second time I went to Juarez, because I went twice. I was only going to go once. Cause...
You went for a wedding, too, right?
Yes.
What happened?
No, hombre.
Tell me.
It was so nice. First of all, I got to hang out with my family, and my aunt kept saying, véngase a mi casa, vamos a ponernos pedos. like that
bitch,
girl.
Bitch, I have never seen so many Bud Lights in one picture.
You saw?
That was incredible. Your family throws down.
Oh, my God. We started around 9, and I left at 4 a.m., and they were still drinking. And it was just at the same spot, talking about absolutely everything. And the most fascinating thing about that conversation and the rest of my 2 days in Juarez is that everybody's obsessed with fucking Trump in Mexico.
Really?
The prices of gas are to the roof. Like they went, they're like 200% higher than they were before. Like something crazy like that, right? The Mexican government keeps doing all this shady shit, but there's somebody dumber as a president on the north, meaning Donald Trump. So the government is using Trump to distract people from all the shady shit that the Mexican government is doing. So every single news outlet in Mexico, it's about Trump. There's campaigns by like Corona, the beer, and like all these different products, and also the TV stations against Trump. So they're pushing nationality and this idea of being pride of being Mexican against Trump.
If one nation hates one person, it's unity, right?
Like yeah,
so hating that, together.
That's the word. They're yeah. really pushing that word for Mexican unity and nos agarramos las manos y Hakuna Matata y la chingada. But everything, everything for to go against Trump. And so three weeks ago, everybody was protesting the gas prices. One week later, Trump is like pushing the wall, and everybody already forgot about the gas prices. And what's crazy about Juarez is that I think there's two refineries, and one of them is giving the prices twice as much, and the other refinery kept it down. So there's certain gas stations around Juarez where it's cheaper. The lines to get gas are like fucking so long. So if you want to put gas, like you better have an extra 2-3 hours in your hand so you can do it. It's crazy that like that was crazy to see that
2 or 3 hours in line to like, get gas.
Yeah, it's insane. It's pretty
you
crazy.
You waste all your gas just waiting.
That's one of the things that my cousin was saying in my Instagram story. He's like, duras como 2 horas, cabrón, para poner 50 pesos. Like you wasted that money in line.
Yeah.
So it was. I don't know. It was a lot of fun, and the wedding was just. It was just too much fun. Shout out to my cousin Felipe because he is the straightest guy you could possibly imagine, but he's always dancing with me. Like me baila quebraditas, and so with my no me hagas esa cara, pendejo.
Damn.
Like everything, he doesn't give a fuck. Okay, he just like grabs my hand and he's like, "Let's go, vamos a bailar."
When I go to Juarez, make sure you introduce me to him.
Yes. Okay? Oh, he will dance you to death.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Let's talk about weddings a little bit since we're on the topic.
Okay.
What is the typical wedding in your family?
Okay, the typical wedding.
Start at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
The day before.
The day before? Well, the day before, toda la familia llega, ¿no? Sí. Everybody arrives in town and everybody gets together or whatever. But nothing big because that's like, for example, some of my cousins were getting ready the night before. Like they started with the nails at night. Girl, como las de la quinceañera de Ruby.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
With the portraits on them. Con el chivo. Los 10,000 pesos.
So they started, that's what we're doing, just all getting together, hanging out, dishing it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then you wake up or whatever, that la novia se levanta temprano, and then they start getting ready. The church ceremony or like the actual wedding, it starts around between 2 and 5 p.m. And then you get to the salon or you get to the place where the party is going to be at after the wedding. So the reception starts. It used to be that if it's on a Friday, everything closes at 2 a.m. So it starts at 9. But if it was on a Saturday, it starts at 10. Like they start late. So you do the party and you dance and you get drunk. Y para que se te baje la peda, somebody makes pozole or menudo.
Yes.
Yes, so we all... So at 2 a.m., the party was over, which they sort of kick us out because we were dancing on top of chairs and everything. It was so crazy. And then we all went to my cousin's house. And then she offered menudo for everybody. And then you just keep drinking till next morning. Sometimes they do the tornaboda. So you finish the menudo, you drink 6-7 in the morning, you fall asleep. And then you wake up around 2-3 p.m. y el recalentado.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and then it continues. Totally. In my sister's wedding, she did that. El recalentado and then karaoke again to like 2-3 in the morning. So it was like 2-3 days of Oh, celebrations.
See,
celebrations.
When I go to these white people weddings and they're like 3 hours long, I was like, what? This is it?
That's it?
That's it. And then, and then you have to pay for the alcohol at the wedding?
That's one thing I don't understand.
I was like, bitch, they have destination weddings and then you get there and you have to pay for the Bud Light?
Bitch, my cousins.
I don't think so.
Like, remember that video? My cousins were so pissed because the night before she was drinking and having so much fun. And then it was like midnight and I was already like tipsy, right? And I look at my cousin and I'm like, vamos a bailar? Like, you're not drunk? She's like, they're only serving whiskey, and I'm a Bud Light kind of girl. And she did not drink an ounce of alcohol because there was no beer. Dice, yo soy cervecera, así que no voy a tomar.
Yeah. I know, and then white people run out of food at their weddings.
That's
so embarrassing.
How does that happen?
So
does that happen to you before? I mean,
yes.
To a wedding you've gone before?
I'm like, this is it? This is... And okay, no shade, but shade. Mormons too, they're the worst. I've been to a few Mormon weddings and I was like, I thought it was
but there's no alcohol.
You know how when you go to a Mexican wedding, hay una mesa con galletas with like little treats, you know?
Oh yes.
That was all they had for the whole wedding.
No.
I was like, that's it? We got cupcakes and Jello.
See, in Mexico,
the worst.
In Mexico, sometimes you have dinner, but that's if you go to a fancy wedding when they're more agringadas. But what they're doing right now, they have two tables. They have one table with desserts, donas y la chingada, and cookies and fountains of chocolate, and then a chamoyada. So they have a fountain, but the fountain, instead of being made out of chocolate, the fountain is with chamoy. And there's like all these different fruits.
Shut.
Wait, so you go.
The
you
fuck.
Me da un plato.
Up.
Espérate, güey.
A chamoy fountain?
Yes. Me da un plato con manzanas.
Wait, let's break it down. Let's break down what chamoy is.
I don't even know what chamoy is.
It's like tamarindo, like spicy. Are you Googling it, Loca?
Yes, I'm looking at it.
Google it. Google it. It's like... I'm thinking of all that Lucas, you know, the ones that you squirt out of the...
Let's see what... Yeah, it's kind of like that. Chamoy refers to a variety of savory sauces and condiments in Mexican cuisine made out of pickled fruit.
Yeah.
Chamoy may range from a liquid to a paste consistency. I'm talking about a liquid.
Pickled fruit.
And typically, its flavor is salty, sweet, sour, and spicy with chile.
Okay.
My mother's watering.
So a fountain.
It's a fountain.
Sweet. Watery pickled fruit. Okay,
yes.
Continue.
So there's a fountain of chamoy, and then they have like a buffet of fruits
to dip it in.
So te lo ponen en un palito like a skewer, and you're like, I want a strawberry, piña, and manzana, and then they dip it in the fountain of chamoy, and then they put it in your plate, and luego le ponen tajín or pico.
Stop it.
And that's those are the hors d'oeuvres. So I wait. Oh.
I want that at my wedding. And I want an elote guy.
An elote guy.
Yeah, and what is it called when they put it in a bag of Doritos or of tortillas? Have you remember when we were in Puebla,
they cut the
side of a white people call it a walking taco, but that's not correct.
So it's like a bag of takis. And then they put the esquites.
Le ponen chamoy. There's different versions.
Cacahuates japoneses, which
hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, yes, yes.
Well, the same thing with this fountain table thing. You can also add cacahuates japoneses to your plate, and it's so good.
That's next level. I'm gonna have a ranch dressing fountain. Oh my God. It's going to be, I'm just going to do that just because. I'm not even going to wait for an occasion.
By yourself.
Can you imagine? I'll have a ranch dressing fountain with your regular, you know, with a vegetable tray, carrots, celery, cauliflower, and then.
La cauliflor.
And then it's going to have chicken fingers, chicken nuggets. Pizza, Tostino pizza rolls, It's going to be the bomb.
You need something Mexican in there, man.
Me. That's it. Oh, man. Yeah. Mexican weddings are the best.
Yeah, so we had... And I was so tipsy, but not drunk. Like, I was so tipsy, and I was having so much fun. And it was 4 in the morning. I'm like, where are we going now? And then everybody just started going home. I'm like, what kind of wedding is that? Pero pues ni modo. Y se acabó.
Well... It's about that time. I need to take a break.
Damn. So fast. I'm just getting started.
I know, but I got to finish the rest of this damn burrito.
I know. I'm todo me queda arroz.
Okay. We'll be right back. Hi. So, as always, remember, guys, go on iTunes, rate us 5 stars, and leave a review. It's so important that you review Latinos Who Lunch. The more ratings we have, the more visible we are on iTunes. And visibility is everything. Pendeja. All right. Our first review here comes from Nancy06C. You had me at hello. All I needed to hear was the introduction. I was already laughing. I even wanted to drive through the line at In-N-Out to last longer so I can listen more. I just started listening tonight, and I was referred by the Tamarindo podcast, shout out, and Super Mamas. I haven't even finished an episode, and I just had to rate it 5 stars. Love it.
Sweet.
Thank you, Nancy. So remember, go on iTunes. Rate us 5 stars.
5 stars only.
And go to latinoswholunch.com. That was rough. What are we going to do when we have to do actual commercials?
We'll have a script and we'll actually...
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, now it's time for recommendations. Do you have any recommendations this week, Pablito?
Yes.
What?
I should have saved this for the fair episode, but I just can't wait.
Yes. Do it.
Just wait.
No, because, okay, I don't know why I'm talking. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I too much coffee again.
I have been listening nonstop to this album, Fair by Fair. And it's so, so good. Some of the songs are throwing shade at all kinds of different things that really matter to Latinos and to Mexicans. And there's last song, La Llorona, you gotta listen to it from the beginning to end. And it's just so amazing to hear this girl's just like being louder than ever. And it's just, it feels like this riot girl 90s, but only with Latinas and a Latino, because there's a dude in the band as well. So yes, listen to Fair by Fair. Buy it on iTunes. It's an incredible, incredible album.
Awesome. I'm really excited because I haven't heard it yet. And
I know, and it came out like in August or something like that, but it's just, I'm just catching on, and that's okay.
Awesome. My recommendation is Chicano Eats. If you haven't heard about Chicano Eats, follow him on Instagram and Twitter and go to
Facebook
and go to ChicanoEats.com. It's a beautiful blog with our friend Esteban, and he posts recipes, he tells personal stories, and my favorite thing is it's just designed so beautifully.
Perfect, yes.
Oh my God, every photo is just perfection, yeah, as Babalito says.
He has
says.
It down, he has his style, it's so amazing.
It's awesome, and I just really enjoy going on that website. So definitely check out Chicano Eats if you haven't yet. And let me see, do I have any podcast recommendations? Have you been listening to any new podcasts?
Yes, I have. I just started listening to Women Who Misbehave.
Ooh, tell me about it.
It is a podcast with two Latinas, and they bring different perspectives about politics, about feminism, and about so many different things. And it's fresh, it's good, and it just came out. There's one episode that that was just released this week, actually. So that will be one of my podcast recommendations for this week. Yes.
Another one is, of course, most of you probably already heard about it, but Locatora Radio is another one with badass ladies. And another one about a badass lady is Making Oprah. Have I told you about this podcast?
You started telling me, but you didn't finish.
It is so good. Yeah, Making Oprah is awesome. It's like it's only a three-parter, like 3 hours. It's WNYC, and it's rad.
Man,
I keep saying rad today, like I'm a fucking surfer. Like
it's okay.
You know, I'm channeling that surfer dude that lived in the back house, but OJ's back house.
We gotta start switching our words. Everybody's like chingona this and chingona that. I am bringing perrón. So from now on, everything is perrón. So these podcasts are pretty perrones. It's
perrón.
Perrón. Yeah.
That's nice. It rolls right off the tongue.
That's why. So people cannot reappropriate it. Oh, you know what? Podcast, Café con Chisme, came back. And they've been doing pretty cool stuff as well. So check them out.
There's a lot of awesome Latinx podcasts, and I'm just so excited to listen to all of them. We have to all get together someday. I'm gonna put Oprah. I'm channeling Oprah right now. I love bread.
I love
tortillas. I'm just gonna do every fucking food. I love tortas.
She's so crazy.
Do you know what the Oprah high five is?
Like the
like give you a high five and you grab the hands.
Yeah. You're stupid. Man, you had a lot of coffee today.
I love Oprah so much. I didn't like her for a little bit because remember when Oprah like went real spiritual.
Oh, the whole secret bullshit?
Yeah, like after that, I was like, I don't know.
My dude had a vision board.
Oh my God, don't get me started on a vision board.
You had one?
No, girl. What am I? No shade. I know vision boards really help people. Shout out to Super Mamas. But it's not for me. I should probably do it. It will probably help me so. It probably helped me so much to have a vision board, actually.
Sure.
Yeah. Maybe I'll just draw, put it in a journal so nobody can see it except me. Because you know, that's embarrassing. But because my vision board.
What is it?
Nope. We're not going to talk about that. I don't want to talk.
No, give us the lowdown, okay, but, like the PC lowdown of your vision board.
No, that's I don't have the energy to talk about that right now. Okay, like, ya se me bajó. Let me take another sip of this shit. But back to Oprah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no, back to what I was saying.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh, it totally last track. Okay, we need to have a Latino podcast, Latinx, Latino podcast festival where all of us get together. And I know Brenda and I from Tamarindo Podcast were kind of talking about it.
Oh, we need to talk to them.
Because it would be so awesome. Because a lot of us are in California. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine? Choices and Chismes, Radio Menea, The Americanas.
What would we call it?
Bodega, huh?
What would we call it?
We would call it...
Like,
Latinx Podcast Festival.
Uy, I can't wait. No, algo más sexy way.
Oh my gosh, you're putting me on the spot.
Maybe people can send us their...
Yeah, there we go. If anybody has a venue and the resources to fly us all out and...
Un taco truck.
A taco truck. Just let's get it going. Let's start
this. Let's do it. No, seriously. Let's party. It has to happen. Like, I feel like it's going to happen this year sooner or later. So let's put it out there.
Manifestation.
Destination.
Hey!
Yeah, vámonos, güey.
Yeah, I know. I'm just trying to keep stretching this so that's exactly an hour.
It's okay.
So I just like...
¿Cuánto falta? ¿Cuánto falta?
I don't know. I lost track already. I know. I know. I'm loving your shirt, though. Where did you get it?
Stop talking.
Oh, my God.
Ciao.
I love... No, no. Bye-bye. No. No, I love your shirt. Where did you get it?
Did you smoke or something?
No. I don't do drugs, Emmanuel. Babelito. Sorry.
Ya, despídete. It's over.
I don't want to let go. I don't want to let
despídete.
Go. I'm afraid.
Afraid of what?
I'm afraid of the world outside of this podcast.
Well, let's record a new one.
I don't want to. I don't have the energy to do that tonight. We're going to have to go get more Korean food.
Estuvo mordida. Pero ya cállate la boca.
No, no. We have to keep going.
How long more?
3 minutes.
Hijo de la chingada.
I know.
Okay. Me la compré en la Target. They have good designs.
Oh, here we go. So one thing that I do want to talk about a little bit with you is this whole Muslim ban thing. It's out of control.
Qué asco, güey.
And I mean, from the latest thing I've heard, they're kind of backtracking now because it was an executive order, but there was no plan written out. So nobody knew what the fuck was going on.
No, it's just he keeps signing executive orders back and forth without any thought of the type of consequences. Not only in this country, but worldwide. And that's another thing that we all need to understand, that our actions have repercussions throughout the world, because the United States government has always had this, like, the world by the ball sometimes in many occasions. And it's just so sad. And it's something that clearly, not my president, but their president doesn't have a clue about. So,
and I just want all these Latinos that are Islamophobic to recognize that this is not only an executive order against Muslims, but also it's against immigrants.
Yes.
So this is also a fight that we need to be a part of, okay? And I know a lot of these Latinos who don't give a fuck about this.
Yes.
Because they are devout Catholics or devout Christians. And they don't see anything wrong with that. That is incorrect. This is an immigrant issue, and this goes beyond intersectionality.
Yeah.
This goes beyond any of this. So I want to see Latinos out there representing and out there with our Muslim brothers and sisters, because guess what? There's supposed to be a separation of church and state, which is
exactly
bullshit. Now it's not, but
yeah.
Remember, this nation that we're in now was founded by a bunch of white people, a bunch of white men.
Was disrupted because it wasn't really founded. It was disrupted by a bunch of white dudes, yes.
By a bunch of white dudes, by a bunch of atheist white dudes.
Criminals.
Criminals colonizing who were avoiding taxes.
And cannibalists.
Anyway, I just can't believe.
And you already went out to your march and supported the nice white ladies that voted for Obama. Now it's time to support our brothers and sisters from another country, from different religion. Like, it's not hard. Like, let's all go ahead and do that, because this is gonna, it's already affecting us. My aunt is getting her, it's going through the press of the green card. It's like the last stage. They kept her in the border for like an hour or something like that. They're like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm gonna go on my break. My manager is gonna come and help you. And they just kept her and kept her. She lost her fucking plane. That's no big deal. It's like, it doesn't compare to other cases, but like, they're already using this sort of tactics to intimidate immigrants in the borders all around this nation, in airports, everywhere. So it's going to affect you directly.
Yeah.
And if our Muslim brothers and sisters are leading the fight, the least we can do is fucking support.
Exactly. And I think a lot of it stems from being afraid of the unknown, right?
Correct.
So it's like, I don't know. I don't know that many Muslim people personally, or actually I might, and I just don't know, because that's not usually something I ask people, like, hey, like, I don't go up to people and ask them about their religion.
But their religion,
I don't care. Like, unless I only care if they're trying to bug me to join their religion. Then I'm like, okay, enough.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Sorry.
So that's what it is. That's what it is. I just remember during Christmas time, my uncle being like so angry about Muslims, and he didn't even know what the hell we were talking about. Anyway, we got to move on to another subject. Yeah. Please, people, we got to join together. We got to be strong right now.
Wait the fuck up, yes.
Well, before we go, I want to give a big shout out to everybody that's helped us, that's donated to the podcast. Because of your donations, I was able to buy a travel mic and a lot of accessories for it and stuff. So you will be hearing mordidas now of Babelito and I on the scene at different places because we have the technology to record them now. So,
and shout out to my friend Maxine too, who let me borrow hers. So now you and I have our own microphone.
Shout out to Maxine. Yes, it's awesome. So, yeah, I really look forward to doing that. And, you know, maybe interviewing some. I would really love to go to my grandma's house and interview her just because she's so funny. But, you know, it'll just be easier for us when we travel to do that.
Yeah, so. Yeah, totally. Thank you so much. It's been just to actually see people donating just blows my mind, and it just goes to show you that there's still good people out there in the world.
And excuse me, Remezcla put us on the list.
Oh, that's right.
Of one of the 13 podcasts to be on your radar.
Pero espérate.
Wait.
Número tres.
I don't know if it was in order of like best to.
Let me fucking dream. After Bodega Boys.
What an awesome, what an honor. Mm-hmm. Like Bodega Boys, that's one of my favorite podcasts. Latino USA, of course. Radio Ambulante. Our homegirls at Radio Menea. Like Tamarindo is on there. It's so awesome.
Yes.
We're so honored to be on that list. And thank you so much. It's wild. That's wild. Amazing.
It is crazy. I got so... Oh, I was calling you, man. I was just so into it.
Yeah.
I can't wait. Anyway.
What do you can't wait for?
I don't know.
You're so tired.
Yeah.
You're like, I can't wait. Okay. We got to get out of here.
Okay.
Bye.
Ciao.